Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for tuning in. It's a beautiful day wherever you are. If you're alive to see it, it's a beautiful day. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Just want to say thank you so much to everybody for taking time out of your busy day to tune in. As I always say, you could be doing something else, but you've taken time out of your day to spend it with my person, and I am just really, really, really honored to be in your presence today. We've got a special show lined up for you. You all know, if you've been following us for a while, that we're in the middle, actually, of a series. A series on the home buying process. You know, the home buying process is still a dream for so many people, and we're just very fortunate enough to be able to have had an opportunity to bring on experts to talk about the home buying process. And it is a process, and a lot of times people don't understand what that process is, and so that's why we bring on the experts. So again, we're in the middle of a series. The first show we kicked off was on personal finance, and we had as our special guest Mike Kao of George Mason Mortgage. And then the very next Monday, we kept it rolling, kept the ball rolling with the show was called Credit Reporting. Very important to know about credit and how it relates to the home buying process. And our special guest was the awesome Linda Melton of Fulton Bank. And then last week, Mike Kao came back, fortunate enough to have him back again, and he talked about the role of the lender. And so today, got another special show lined up for you. The experts just keep rolling in. My special guest today is my lovely wife, Yvette Preston with Long and Foster Realty, and I am just very, very excited to have her as my special guest today. Let me tell you just a little bit about our special guest. Again, she's going to be talking about the role of the real estate agent. She's an associate real estate broker with Long and Foster. She's licensed in Maryland and Virginia. She has two offices. One is in Georgetown, which is located in Washington, D.C., and the Innsbruck office also, which is located in Glen Allen, Virginia. Yvette has over 16 years of real estate experience, and just recently, back in December, she graduated from the Virginia Commonwealth University, also known as VCU, with an interdisciplinary studies degree in urban housing redevelopment management. And she's been facilitating first-time homebuyer workshops and teaching the role of the real estate agent at the Virginia Housing and Development Authority, also now known as Virginia Housing. And so we're just really, really, again, excited to be able to have her on as my special guest today. She's also taught the role of the real estate agent for Housing Opportunities Made Equal in Richmond, Virginia, and also the Housing Community Initiative in Montgomery County, Maryland. She's an advocate for fair and decent housing, affordable housing, and home ownership. She specializes in working with first-time home buyers as the buyer's agent, and it is without further ado that I move out of the way and introduce to you my lovely wife, Yvette Preston. Great to have you as my guest today.
Thank you so much, and thank you for such a great I guess sharing my bio, but this is definitely something that I love to do. I love educating and sharing on the home buying process, and I'm excited to be able to share today on the role of the real estate agent. So I'm ready to get started and just kind of educate people on that process, because it is a process, and you want to know the various steps to get to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is episode 4. As you mentioned, we already talked about personal finance, the role of the lender,
credit reporting.
And so all of these steps are necessary just to even get to the real estate agent.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about a little bit more about what's involved when it comes to the role of the real estate agent.
You mentioned education, and you mentioned educating the public. Can you talk about that for a minute? Because I think that is so important, because people oftentimes just don't know the process. There's a process to home ownership and to even getting prepared to get the keys at the closing table. There's a lot of steps between finding the house that you want and getting the keys at the closing table. But could you talk about the process, how important it is to just be educated in the process?
Absolutely. And that's a part of what we're doing, of course, is educating you on the home buying process. When I first started years ago, and I actually was thinking to go into real estate investing, but then after I started trying to do some research on real estate investing and then actually thinking about purchasing my first home, there wasn't too much information available there on the home buying process. Mm. So it was actually someone named Carlton Sheets, and some of you may have heard of him back during that time, and I actually read his material and actually followed those steps, and I was able to purchase my first home with no money down.
Wow.
But I had to educate myself because, as I mentioned, during that time, we didn't have access to first-time home buyer classes. So from that led on to me having a desire to actually become a real estate agent, because I said, you know what, if I'm seriously thinking about going into real estate investing, well, it would be good if I educate myself and know how to find the property.
Mm-hmm.
So then I decided, well, let me go to school. Mm-hmm. I actually decided to go back to school and take the necessary classes and exams to become a real estate sales agent. So that's kind of where I started out, as a real estate sales agent. But all of that, again, was a part of the education process.
Wow, that is amazing. You know, speaking of education, you just kept going with it. I mean, you became a licensed broker in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. So you had to actually take additional coursework to actually get the designation of a broker, which allows you to operate, open your own real estate company, which you did do, and we can talk about that for a moment. But did you have any idea when you were just reading Carlton Sheets' book on investing where this path was ultimately going to take you? I mean, to the point of opening your own real estate brokerage, becoming a licensed broker in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia?
I had no idea. So, like I mentioned, I started out wanting to be a real estate investor, but so many things came along with that process as I was educating myself. And so, it required additional classes. It required additional passing exams, and those exams were not easy.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew after I decided that I wanted to get into the real estate sales side, or as a become a real estate agent, that I wanted to actually go to the highest designation as far as being able to open up my own brokerage firm. So I went on to pass the real estate broker exam in the state of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided, because I also had lived and worked in the area of Maryland as well as in D.C., so I said, well, it was getting good to me.
Right.
So I continued to study, and I continued to pass the exams, and then I went on and I got my broker's license in Maryland and D.C. And then not only that, I decided to start my own real estate company as well.
That is amazing. I know the story. Of course, I know the history. I know the bio. I understand it. I was there for a large part of it.
Absolutely.
You know, and so I know it, but it's still amazing when we hear it,
yeah.
You know, because, again, you've accomplished so much in a very short period of time, really. I mean, and I'm just very proud to have
Thanks.
Been able to have a firsthand seat and to watch you grow and to, you know, just see all of your accomplishments. So, again, today we're going to be talking about the role of the real estate agent. Okay, again, this is the 4th show in a 6-part series, so let's get started. You know, a lot of times, Yvette, people when talking about real estate, a lot of times people, they're just terms that people have heard. And sometimes people might think these terms are interchangeable. But if you could, let's just start with a real estate agent versus a real estate broker, or shall I say not versus, as because they're not in opposition to one another, but what is the difference between a real estate agent and a real estate broker? I mean, you've passed both of those exams. What's the difference between an agent and a broker?
Well, it's the additional educational requirements that you have to fulfill, as well as the length of time as a real estate sales agent. Normally, when you first, well, when you first get started and you go into residential real estate, the licensing that you are seeking is a real estate sales license.
Okay.
And it depends on the state that you're licensed in. It may require maybe additional 3 years as a real estate sales agent before you can even become eligible to sit for the real estate broker's exam.
Okay.
So that's basically a difference, and that is the designation. And then as a real estate broker, you now are allowed to open up your own real estate company. A real estate sales professional is a person that is an independent contractor, so you have to find an actual brokerage company, for instance, Long & Foster,
mm-hmm.
Century 21, REMAX. These are brokerage companies or brokerage firms, and you have to find a brokerage company to hang your license with so that they can oversee your transactions. But you are an independent contractor, but you still have to have that supervision. So once you become a real estate broker, you now can own your own company. You now can also hire your own agents, and now you are mainly responsible for overseeing that company. And the real estate agent industry is very regulated.
Okay.
So therefore, we have many, many guidelines that we have to abide by. And so the different roles and the different positions that a real estate agent function as will determine what their duties are. And we can talk about that a little bit if you want me to share concerning the different roles of the real estate agent.
Okay, sure, please.
Yeah, so the designation as a real estate broker is a designation, but there are different roles that a real estate agent can function in, and it is good for you, especially if you're thinking about purchasing a home, to know what those roles are. And so a buyer's agent,
okay?
So if you're thinking about purchasing a home, you would want to hire a buyer's agent to represent you. That agent is going to be your advocate and should represent your best interest. That person can help you to find property, properties can help you to negotiate. And so as a real estate professional, you want someone that can actually do those things for you. They are experienced. They should have the experience, and we're trained to understand the different contracts and the forms that a buyer has to complete. So that is a buyer's agent. And we'll talk a little bit more about a exclusive buyer agreement, because that is definitely something that your agent will talk to you about. Then you have the seller's agent. The seller's agent, just like it sounds, seller's agent or listing agent represents the seller.
Okay,
and so that agent is an advocate for the seller, is looking out for the best interest of that seller.
Mm-hmm.
That agent will help the seller to determine what is a good list price, will also negotiate on behalf of that seller, and interacts with the buyer's agent when it comes to negotiating the contract and terms and different things like that. So you have the seller's agent, you have the buyer's agent, and then you also have another relationship called dual agency. Now, I'm licensed in the state of Maryland, so dual agency is a little differently. It's looked at differently in Maryland versus in Virginia. In Virginia, it's legal, in which one agent can represent the buyer and the seller. But in Maryland, one agent cannot represent both the buyer and the seller. The broker has to designate a separate agent to represent the seller and another agent to represent the buyer. But just understanding that term, dual agency, if you're in the state of Virginia and you run into a situation where maybe the listing agent also is working with a buyer, or say, for instance, I have a property that's listed, and I'm also working with a buyer that's interested in my listing, so I'm a I have a contract with the seller as a listing agent, and then I have another exclusive buyer agreement to help assist a buyer. If that buyer wants to purchase the property that I have listed, both parties would have to agree to that type of relationship, because that would be considered dual agency in the state of Virginia, and both parties would have to agree. Again, as I mentioned, it's legal in Virginia. Then we also have designated representation. Designated representation is a situation in which there is one brokerage firm, but there's two agents. There's still an agent representing the seller and an agent representing the buyer, but both agents work for the same brokerage company. So, for example, both agents may work for Long & Foster, but they both exclusively represent either the seller or the buyer. So that's a different situation, but it definitely also has to be disclosed and agreed upon.
But there's no conflict there, because it's not as if one person, one agent, is getting paid by both the seller and the buyer on the same transaction.
In the same transaction, in that particular situation, when I say a conflict of, or when you say conflict of interest, it just depends, because in that particular situation, the buyer agent and the listing agent may not even know each other or know the other parties involved.
Okay.
So there's less of a sense of conflict of interest. But again, as I mentioned, dual agency, it's legal in Virginia. So if a person wants to enter into a dual agency type of relationship, they can.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, because there may be somebody out there listening, a first-time home buyer, or somebody who, you know, may be wanting to share this information with other people, and they just don't know where to begin.
Mm-hmm.
They know that at some point they're going to have to sit down with a lender. At some point they're going to have to get a real estate agent. At some point they're going to have to get a home inspector. You know, and we've had different people on the show, and they're different thought concerning which should you get first.
Right.
Should you get the lender first? Should a prospective buyer go sit down and talk to a lender? Should they go sit down and talk with a buyer's agent? What do you say?
Well, I think the buyer's agent.
Okay.
Because the buyer's agent can actually help a person, guide a person through the process. We, as buyer's agent or a real estate agent, we work with a team of professionals. We work with different people, not necessarily a team, but it's a team effort that the buyer is going to put together, a team.
Okay.
That buyers should have a lender, a real estate agent, a closing attorney. That buyer's also going to need a home inspector, and the lender sends out an appraiser. So, but there's just different parties involved, people involved in the helping the person navigate through the home buying process. So I always say, if you haven't spoken to a lender, of course,
mm-hmm.
definitely start with a real estate agent. And I'll share right now, this it's called an exclusive buyer representation agreement. If you want representation by a buyer agent to represent you, or an agent to represent you as a buyer's agent, that buyer agent or that agent is going to ask you to sign a written agreement, and it's called, again, exclusive buyer representation agreement. That's a very important agreement, because it spells out the obligations and duties of the agent and the buyer.
Mm-hmm.
So you want that buyer will clearly know and understand, what is that agent's responsibility to me? What confidentiality?
Mm-hmm.
What are the jobs and responsibilities and the duties of that agent to me? And then the buyer will also know clearly what his or her responsibility is during this process. That written agreement will spell out those duties and obligations. It'll also talk about any fees up front, and you want to know what fees are there, any fees. Do you pay? Who pays for that agent service?
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk about that a little bit too, more about the fees and the cost of having buyer representation. But that written agreement is something in Virginia, in Maryland, that is a required agreement to be signed by the buyer if the buyer wants representation. Otherwise, if that's not agreed upon, then that agent is operating as, or you will be considered a customer.
Mm-hmm.
and therefore the agent is loyal to the seller, helping the seller to sell their home, because there's no agreement in place
mm-hmm.
concerning the duties.
I got you.
No, the representation.
Right.
So therefore, you want to upfront talk about that type of representation, and we'll talk about that a little bit more concerning the responsibilities. Because again, the buyer agent is paid by the seller.
Interesting.
The commission is paid. That commission is paid by the seller.
That's very interesting, because a lot of people don't know that, and in not knowing that, who's who,
yes,
who the players are, who is representing who. For example, you might have a situation where there's an open house, okay, and at this open house, a prospective buyer might just walk in and just, you know, looking around, and there's an agent at the open house, okay, fielding questions, you know, answering questions. Now, if the person, this is the prospective buyer, is not aware that the person that is at the open house, this agent is representing the seller.
More than likely representing the seller, or if it's a model home,
mm-hmm.
representing the builder.
Okay.
Correct.
Then they could share information about themselves that would be advantageous to the seller when it came to time to negotiate.
Absolutely.
So could you talk about that?
Yes. So that's why it's important that you understand the roles. Again, if you understand that that person at that open house, or you can even ask, the best thing to do is ask,
mm-hmm.
who do you represent?
Okay.
Who are you?
Right.
The person is supposed to disclose that up front if you go to an open house. But say, for instance, that open house, there's a lot of people at the open house, and that agent is maybe showing people around. Normally, the buyer's agent shows the property and shows the person around. But if it's an open house or a model home, that agent or that sales rep, is actually representing the seller or the builder. So it's very important that you understand who's representing who, because, as I mentioned, the dual agency type of relationship in Virginia is loud. So that seller's agent may ask, do you have representation? Do you want representation? And if you agree, that's fine. Both parties have to agree, and that's fine. But some people would prefer to hire their own agent
mm-hmm.
as in an exclusive type of relationship.
Makes sense.
And why not? If the seller is paying the commission
mm-hmm.
and that's already agreed up front, that's not something that's arranged between the buyer agent and the seller's agent or the seller at the time of the transaction. That's already discussed up front and determined at the time that the seller's agent went into a listing agreement with the seller, even before the buyer comes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not something that the buyer agent has something, you know, to do with the seller.
Gotcha. They're not in cahoots.
They're not, you know, okay. But all of that's agreed upon up front. The buyer's agent more than likely has never met the seller and doesn't know the seller. So why not take advantage? That is a major advantage for the buyer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't cost you anything to get free real estate, free representation from a real estate professional
mm-hmm.
that has the experience, the knowledge, the time, or should have it to be able to provide those services that you need in order to navigate through the home buying process.
So I can hear somebody out there that wondering, well, how do I even go about selecting a real estate agent? I've never done this before, you know. There's some people that have family members that are agents or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, just take somebody who, you know, doesn't know, you know, how to go about selecting an agent. How would you advise them?
You know, that's very interesting, because a lot of times people who come to me, they, as you mentioned, they may have someone that they know, or they may have someone in the family that's a real estate agent, but they prefer to have someone kind of neutral.
Interesting.
But most of the time, it's by word of mouth, as you mentioned, through referrals, family, friends, associates. But the key to it is that you want to find an agent that you feel comfortable with and that you can trust. So a lot of people find agents also by attending first-time homebuyer workshops,
mm-hmm.
listening to broadcasts, of course, like this, that they have an opportunity to meet and hear
mm-hmm.
real estate agents you know, background and get to speak with them. But I definitely would recommend interviewing as well. Once you decide or you find a real estate agent that you're interested in, and you can also go online on the internet, Virginia Housing and Development Authority, or it's now called Virginia Housing. You can also go on the internet and over to that website. They also have a list of real estate agents listed on that website. So various ways,
mm-hmm.
but I would say the majority of the time is word of mouth, but definitely you want to interview and you want to get to know that agent and by interviewing the agent. You can even ask for
references.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can even talk to the broker, their broker. Some basic questions is you would like to ask would be, how long have you been in the business?
Mm-hmm.
Do you specialize with working with first-time home buyers? What areas are you licensed? What areas, locations are you licensed in? What areas are you familiar with? So those are just some basic questions.
Well, how would a person find out about whether or not a person is legit? Unfortunately, everybody's not who they say they are. Is there a way to check a person's license to see if they wanted to just do their own due diligence to find out if, in fact, a person is, you know, they might say they have a license, but is it active? I mean, you know, how can a person go about finding out those type of things?
That is a great question because you said something, is it active? A person could have previously been licensed, but are they currently active to be able to sell real estate in the state
mm-hmm.
that you want to purchase, that a person wants to purchase a property? So you can go to the local real estate board in Virginia. It's the Department of Professional Occupation and Regulations. You can actually Google that and go over to that website, and you can, where it says licensing, you can actually put a person's name in, and it will pull up if they're currently licensed or if that license has expired, if there's any complaints.
Okay.
That's information where you can find whether a person is licensed in the state of Virginia. Also, you can go over to the Maryland Real Estate Commission to check that licensing. But basically, any licensing board within the state that you want to purchase real estate, that person has to be licensed or either work with someone in that their company that is licensed to sell real estate in that state. So that is definitely something you can also do your due diligence. I would hate to think that a person would try to sell real estate without a license because there are heavy fines
mm-hmm.
for impersonating a real estate agent or trying to sell someone's property without actually being a licensed real estate professional.
You know, as I'm listening to the information that you're sharing, Yvette, it just reinforces to me just how important these shows are because this information is power, as they say, and it's very important that people understand this process, even from how to select an agent to actually doing their due diligence to making sure that that agent is who they say they are and actually qualified to perform the duties that they're performing. Let's take a moment, actually a few moments, to talk about just the importance of planning, patience, and preparation. I mean, because when we're talking about real estate and a real estate transaction going from, you know, you out showing a person different homes to actually sitting at the closing table, that is a process. And it starts, that process really should start prior to the person actually even calling an agent. Could you even talk about the importance of even planning? Because when you're talking about buying a home, the home buying process, this home is probably going to be the largest purchase that a person will make in their life. This is going to be a purchase of over $100,000 in most cases, and it's going to take approximately, in many cases, 30 years to pay off.
Correct.
So, therefore, you want to make sure that you understand the process and that you're prepared for it. Could you talk about, let's start with the first P. Let's talk about preparation.
Preparation, absolutely. If you're listening to this show right now, you're in the preparation process.
Okay.
Because part of the preparation is education.
Mm-hmm.
And so definitely as we already talked about and Jawanza mentioned, I'm an advocate for first-time home buyers education, fair and decent housing, and affordable housing. So in preparing, that means it's not really easy to purchase that first home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I went through the process, although years ago I was able to purchase a home with no down payment, there are certain steps and processes that you have to go through in order to qualify for these down payment assistance programs and grant programs that's available to date, especially for first-time home buyers, because it's hard to come up with $10,000, $15,000,
mm-hmm.
$20,000 to purchase a home or put down on a home
mm-hmm.
unless you receive the inheritance.
Right.
Or it's kind of difficult to save up for that for your first home. So there are a lot of different programs that's available for down payment assistance and grants. So even in their specific programs and requirements for different agencies to help assist first-time home buyers with down payment assistance, you have to prepare and follow their guidelines. And a part of the preparation would be you also need to have some skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You need to at least have $2,000 saved. And that $2,000 consists of a minimum maybe of $1,000, which is that earnest money deposit. If you go back and listen to some of the past shows, and I would encourage those who are listening to the show for the first time to go back and listen to the show on personal finance and the show on credit and the show on the role of the lender, because we really went into detail talking about that $2,000.
That's part of the preparation.
That's a part of the preparation.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have that even to even get to the point where you work with the real estate agent. Preparation, you have to have a credit score.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about education. Educate yourself on the home buying process. Credit score, you need at least a minimum of 620, and depending on whether you file bankruptcy or whatever your situation may be, the lender can also help to determine what credit score you have and what programs you're eligible for.
And even when it comes to preparation, I want to throw this out there too, because a lot of times just having your paperwork in order,
yes,
is part of the preparation. For example, let's say, for example, you're getting a loan, or you're getting a grant, or you've been approved to take part in a particular program,
mm-hmm.
and they are asking you for 6 months bank statement.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Or
especially for grant programs.
Okay, so they're,
yeah,
asking for this information. You have to be able to put your hands on it. Okay. Tax returns. You not to be,
yes,
able to be able to put your hands on this paperwork. So even getting your paperwork in order is part of the preparation, because sometimes it might be a situation where it's a part of the program. The first person that gets that information to them will be the one that's being considered. We just
absolutely. So what Jawanza was talking about is just various down payment or programs, or even the lender. Just be prepared. The lender is going to ask you for these things. So and it depends on when you're deciding to purchase, because I would give, normally it would take probably 3 to 6 months to really prepare,
mm-hmm,
for home ownership. If you need a year, that's fine. Plan for that, because that's another piece,
mm-hmm,
planning. Because and it may not happen. Of course, a year can pass by quickly, but if you have a goal in mind, and as you're preparing, then you know you have something to look forward to. Sometimes people like to maybe plan to purchase around a holiday, or they may want to wait after the tax season, because now they know they're probably going to get a tax return, tax refund, and that might be some of the money they can use to apply towards that $2,000 out of pocket money. I want to just go back to that $2,000, because that $1,000, that earnest money deposit, which I refer to, that's like that security deposit that you're saying, okay, when you find that house, you're showing the seller that that's like a good faith deposit. That money will go into an escrow account and will be set aside until closing, and it will filter through the closing process if you don't have to bring any money to the table. But the seller will want to know that you have skin in the game and that you're serious about purchasing this property. So you have to have that $1,000 or 1% to 2% of the sales price. In some states, Maryland and D.C. may require 1% to 2% of the sales price. You have to have the money for the home inspection, because normally after you go into contract, you want to do a home inspection, we always recommend home inspection. We got a home inspection show coming up next Monday, but you always want to get that home inspection done. That might be $350 to $500, depending on the square footage and depending on the home inspector's price. And then the lender is going to send out an appraiser. I usually like to ask the lender to send out the appraiser after the home inspection is ratified, and we'll talk more about what home inspection ratification is during that whole process of purchasing a home, because once you find that house that you're interested in, preparation, if you prepared and if you're ready, then the chances of the seller choosing your offer is greater. Because the seller, once you find a house that you're interested in and you're ready to make that offer, and what does ready mean? You prepared,
right.
You educated yourself on the process, you have that $2,000 minimum saved, you found your real estate agent, you now have you're pre-approved versus pre-qualified. Again, go back and listen to that show with Mike Kale. He talked about pre-approval and pre-qualification, and now you're ready to make that offer. And the seller can accept, reject, or counter. And in most cases, the seller will counter. So some of these things is definitely what the real estate agent, your agent, your buyer's agent can help you through that process. But often I may work with a person sometimes 6 months to a year because you might not be ready right now.
Well, that's where patience comes in. That's another P, patience.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to even throw in another P to go with the patience, and that's priorities. Because when you have your priorities in order, then the patience is going to be easier to manifest because you know why you're doing it. You know why you're putting this money aside. You know why you're, quote, making sacrifices,
absolutely,
end quote, not spending money on this, not spending money on that. Maybe if, let's say, for example, if you're a woman and you like getting your hair done, what, once every 2 weeks? I don't know how y'all do it. Once every 2 weeks, once a month or whatever. You know, you might need to make some changes. You know, if you like getting your nails done and it costs, what, $150 a whop, you know that, okay, maybe I need to.
I see you don't know how much it costs to get nails done.
So then you might have to start making some other priorities, okay? And as you make these priorities, it's going to be easier because you will be able to put this whole process in, another P, perspective.
Absolutely.
Okay, and it's going to be easier for you to exercise patience. Talk about patience.
Absolutely. So that patience is something because often for me, I'm kind of a hands-on person sometimes with my clients if they want to be handheld through the process. But it can get a little crazy sometimes, not due to anything from the buyer's side, but just things happen. The lender may be requiring the same documents over and over again, and you may be questioning why I already gave this person that information. But remember, you are building a team. Everyone on this team is working for you. So as Mike mentioned when he was talking about personal finance, the loan officer, the real estate agent, the closing agent, these three individuals on your team, they don't get paid until they get to closing. So that means we all want you to get to the end. We want to provide you with the services and to tell you actually how to get there. So I would say don't get frustrated. Be patient because if you follow the instructions, even if you're in the beginning of the process and you need counseling and you need to get your score up or you need to wait because your lease, you're in a lease agreement and you don't want to break your lease, so you have to kind of wait until you get closer to that time, maybe 2-3 months before your lease expires. But if you have a plan and you prepared, then remember, maintain also peace during that situation because that patience is going to be needed. But when you, again, have a plan and you prepare for it, then you're presenting your offer and you have set yourself up for the greatest opportunity to not only get the best interest rate, for the seller to accept your offer, because we're still in a seller's market.
What is a seller's market? What is the difference between a seller's market and a buyer's market?
And see, and that's something that will also determine how your buyer's agent will negotiate for you and help you through this process, because even some people, while we're in this coronavirus period right now, we're still in a seller's market, which means the demand is greater than the supply of inventory of houses that's on the market. So it really is still to the seller's advantage, because the sellers are receiving multiple offers. Houses are going under contract in 1 or 2 days, sometimes in a week.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, if they're on the market more than 2 weeks, we have to question why, because that's how fast houses are selling. Even though we're still in this period of the coronavirus, as long as you have stable income and you have not been, your income has not been affected by this coronavirus, and you have the credit score, you may have a little bit more negotiating room because of others that unfortunately have been laid off and they can't purchase at this time, but it's still a seller's market. But that's what your agent, it's a lot of information that you will learn through this process, and even taking a first-time homebuyer class. I normally give the in-person first-time homebuyer class or do the classes, but since, of course, of the coronavirus, there are online classes that you can take, and actually Virginia Housing and Development Authority or Virginia Housing actually offering these online classes, which actually goes through the entire home buying process. And then at the end, you receive a certificate, a 2-year certificate that's good to meet the educational requirements to receive a VHDA loan, which is one of the greatest down payment grant loans that you can get in the state of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, back to preparation, patience, planning,
priorities, mm-hmm.
all of that is all kind of lumped together. Mm-hmm. And if you can remember, you know, some things that we're sharing with you today about the process, you will get there, but it's important that you follow the instructions.
Yes.
Work with the professional.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to your real estate agent. Listen to your lender. Listen to the closing agent, and they will help you to get to the closing. So don't get discouraged if initially someone may say, no, because you're not ready right now. Your score is not quite there yet. But most of the time, lenders, as well as there's free housing counselors, credit counselors that also can help assist you and guide you through the process and tell you how to get that score up. You don't have to pay to get credit repair. We talked about that also. Go back and listen to the show on credit reporting. But we know how to get you there. We do it all the time. So listen to the professionals.
You just said, you took the words right out of my mouth. That was going to be my next statement. How very important it is to listen to the professionals, because, excuse me, everybody knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who bought a house and can tell you how the process works. Although they may have bought the house, it could have been 20 years ago. You know how often laws change and new regulations come out? I mean, they're just a myriad of new regulations, new laws coming out all the time. So you can't go by always what you heard. You have to get the information that's updated from the professionals. Very, very important. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. So as I already mentioned, Ned, you're putting together a team. And why not take advantage of getting a buyer's agent to represent you? Again, it may be hard to believe, but it doesn't cost you anything,
mm-hmm.
because that's already negotiated up front for the seller to pay that buyer's agent commission. And you just want to also make sure with the buyer's agent who you work with that there's no additional retainer fees or administrative fees. But those are some of the questions you definitely want to ask up front.
You know, let's talk about the contract for a moment. When is a contract, quote, ratified, end quote? Because, again, these are terms that you're going to hear if you're going through the home buying process. What is ratified? When a contract is ratified, what is actually that? What does that mean?
Okay, so ratified means legally binding. So if, say for instance, now you found the house that you're looking for, you found your real estate agent has been working with you, and you found the house that you're interested in, and now you want to make an offer. One of the first things that a real estate agent should do is run a comparative market analysis to determine if that's a good offer price.
What is a comparative market analysis?
Okay. So a comparative market analysis is basically a report, or it comps property listings that sold within the last 6 months that's similar to that particular property within maybe that subdivision, a 5-mile radius. And that's what real estate agents use. That's what appraisers use to determine what is a good offer price. Because even though that seller's agent advised the seller concerning what is a good price to list that house for, the buyer's agent definitely should run a comparative market analysis to advise his or her client concerning what is a good offer price. That buyer's agent may come back after running the report to say, yes, that agent listed that price just right.
And so you're talking about comparing apples to apples, right? So
correct.
You're talking about 5-bedroom, square footage.
Absolutely.
Den, backyard.
If it's a rancher.
Okay.
Yeah, rancher to rancher. If it's a three-story, three-story.
Okay.
Townhouse, townhouse.
Okay.
Yeah, you're comparing houses that were similar to the one that the client is interested in to determine what is a good offer price. And we determine that by the average of what actually is a good offer price. And it's actually a report that we run. And then normally I sit down with my client and I discuss their options. Again, you have to look at whether the buyer is going to need closing costs, because I just want to mention this, and I haven't forgotten about the ratified. Ratified means legally binding. That's after the seller has accepted your offer. Both parties have agreed. The offer has been accepted. Now the contract is considered ratified legally. It's a legally binding agreement, which means that you cannot just walk away from it.
So if the person says, you know what, after they signed it and it's, quote, ratified, end quote, you know, I went home, I talked to my wife about it again, and we talked about it and we prayed about it, and, you know, we just decided that, you know, maybe now's not the time. We've decided that we're just not going to purchase right now. We'll maybe in about 6 months.
It's legally binding, so that's why that's a very serious, it's a contract. It is a contract. And remember I mentioned about the earnest money deposit?
Mm-hmm.
So that seller, that earnest money deposit is held with either the closing attorney, the buyer's closing attorney, or the seller's closing attorney, whatever, however, is determined, and held in an escrow account. So if you try to break that contract without a contingency or a legal reason for being able to be released from that contract, just like with an exclusive agreement, it's a contract, it's a written agreement to work with that lender. Now, the purchase agreement is a written agreement to work with that, to purchase that house from that seller. That seller took that house off the market. It's under a pending status, which means nobody else is looking at that house. They're waiting now until you close on that property. So that's why that your earnest money deposit can be in jeopardy, as well as the seller could also sue you and make you purchase that house.
Wow.
If
make you.
It can be proven that you could go through with that particular loan. So it's definitely something that's very, very serious, and your agent should sit down with you and go over that. And it's a very serious decision when you go out and now you're ready to make that that offer on that property.
So what happens then if, let's say, for example, you make an offer on the property, the contract is, say, ratified, and then you go out, you have the home inspector come out, and the home inspector finds, say, 10 things, and you ask the seller to fix those 10 things that the home inspector says are major. And the seller says, well, no, I'm only going to fix 5. I'm not going to fix the other 5. At that point, can the buyer get out of the contract if he and the seller or she and the seller cannot agree upon what items on the home inspection need to be fixed if they're major?
Okay, well, let's say it depends, okay? So that's very, very, that is a great, great question, because if the seller agreed up front in the purchase agreement that he would allow the buyer or the seller to purchase that, to do a home inspection, which we always recommend, and I always write into the contract to allow, to ask the seller to agree. The seller has to agree to allow the buyer to do a home inspection. Even if it was a foreclosure, you want to do a home inspection for informational purposes, and sometimes in a listing agreement, and we can also talk about listings and where you can find the listing information, but that is definitely something that is stated, or sometimes we ask up front concerning the home inspection, if it's informational purposes. Most of the time, if it's a foreclosure, it's being sold as is. But if it's not stated within the listing that the house is being sold as is, you still want to do a home inspection, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's for informational purposes only. So if the seller agrees to allow the buyer to do a home inspection, there's a time frame that's listed within the contract when the person has to go out, the buyer has to go out, have that home inspection done, have a report written up by a licensed home inspector. It has to be a licensed home inspector, not just someone that you know that could come and take a look at things. The person has to be a licensed home inspector. And then that licensed home inspector can write up a report and to show whatever items that they found that needs repairs.
What about new construction? Somebody might say, I'm trying to save money. What about new construction? Do they need to get a home inspection too?
Absolutely. But even in this particular situation, whatever the situation, if it's new, if it's a foreclosure, if it's a resale, you always want to get a home inspection. We'll talk about that more and for next week when Miller Van Fossen with Cornerstone Inspections will be sharing on the home inspection. But the important thing to remember in answering your question is that, yes, you want to get the home inspection. Yes, you submit that report within that timely manner to have those items, requesting the seller to fix those items. The seller doesn't have to agree to do any of those items. The seller may agree to do some of those items, or the seller may agree to do all of the items, but it's negotiable, and it's what we call a contingency. And that's a situation where if the seller does not agree and you cannot come to an agreement concerning those repairs, both parties can walk away and you can terminate the contract without penalty. Because when we talk about contingencies, there's certain contingencies that also come along with the agreement if it's stated within the purchase agreement. And most purchase agreements that are already the agreement is already structured, and we as real estate agents basically just have to fill in the blanks and fill in the pertinent information. These attorneys and these associations have structured these purchase agreements to protect the buyer. And so it's certain information that's already in there, certain contingencies. If the loan falls through, if the buyer is not able to get a mortgage loan, then that's a contingency.
If they lose their job during the
process. If they lose their job. If there's property that actually conveys with the property, that can be a contingency.
What's convey?
Convey means it goes along with the property, refrigerator, oven, washer, dryer, anything, ceiling fans, special light fixtures. If any of those items can be detached from the property, the real estate agent should make sure that that information is also written and spelled out within the contract. A contract is not valid unless it is in writing. So not a verbal agreement, not something. That's why agents to agents negotiate together on behalf of their clients, unless the listing agent is the seller.
Well, what happens if a situation arises where the seller agrees to fix certain things listed on the home inspection, and then when you do the final walkthrough, the day or so before closing, you find that some of the items that the seller agreed to fix were in fact not fixed. What happens then? Can the buyer just hold up closing until the seller comes back out and fixes?
Absolutely. And that's a part of the final walkthrough. So there's various steps that a person goes through even after the seller accepts the offer or the offer is ratified. Even going back to the home inspection and talking about the contingencies,
mm-hmm.
it's just one a couple of other things I wanted to mention. The appraisal is a contingency. If the house doesn't appraise for the loan amount, either the seller, the agent should go back and ask the seller to reduce the price or the buyer can walk away. Okay, that's a contingency. That's another a contingency that the house appraised, okay, that the buyer receives the funding or the mortgage lending, the mortgage
right.
Funds,
mm-hmm.
That the properties that's supposed to be or that was agreed to go along with the property, when you go for the final walkthrough, which a person can go back for a reinspect once the seller agrees or the parties have agreed on whatever repairs and you've come to a mutual agreement, then that is now ratified. So now you're moving on to the next step, which would be the closing. So let's go back over the steps again. A person finds a home. They submit an offer. The seller accepts the offer. The contract is now ratified. The next step would be the home inspection. The buyer's agent submitted the request for repairs.
Mm-hmm.
The seller, they have worked out who will do the repairs
mm-hmm.
and how that would be done. So then that now is ratified. And so now the contract is definitely ratified as long as the loan still goes through.
Question. I just want to jump in and ask this question because it's very important. You mentioned that the home inspector gets the work done. And previously during the show, you mentioned that it should be done by a licensed professional. Should the buyer request receipts and proof that the person has done the home inspection, not the home inspection, but the repairs, is in fact licensed? Should the
Absolutely, buyer... because if the seller's agent finds out that the buyer is the one that brings the home inspector and has the home inspection done,
right.
So, and when that buyer's agent submits the home inspector's report, they're going to see, the buyer's agent is going to submit a request, an addendum requesting the repairs based upon the home inspection, the home inspector's report. And in that home inspection report, they will have pictures, they will have recommendations, they
mm-hmm.
will say what needs to be done. So that's submitted along with the request for repairs.
Mm-hmm.
So if that seller's agent, for instance, finds out that that home inspector is not licensed and the period of negotiating period has passed, that seller's agent can come back and say they will not honor any of that request, and that person is basically purchasing that house as is. So that's why the buyer's agent is the buyer's agent's responsibility to make sure that the home inspector is licensed, and the same place where a person can go to check it to see if a real estate agent is licensed is the same place you can go to check and see if a home inspector is licensed.
But what about the
and
people doing
even
the repairs?
Even the people that are doing the repairs, if it's stated within the repair request addendum that those individuals are to be licensed and receipts are to be submitted, you can also hold up the closing if you find, if the real estate agent or the buyer's agent finds out that those individuals were not licensed, because that means that those repairs were not done by a licensed professional. Now, I've heard home inspectors say that some people do work just as good as licensed professionals, but this is a contractual agreement.
Right.
After you purchase this house is yours, so you don't have an opportunity to go back after closing to ask those individuals to come back and
mm-hmm.
fix those items. Now, we as real estate agents can ask the seller to also pay for a home warranty on major items such as the plumbing, HVAC, and That's something that may be about a $600. So the listing agent can ask the buyer's agent can ask the seller to pay up to 6% of the sales price and closing costs. The buyer agent can ask the seller to pay for a 1-year home warranty. It's customary. Do they have to give anything? No. But again, depending on what market you're in, depending on whether you need closing costs, your agent needs to be experienced enough in negotiating to know how to structure that contract. And even if you need closing costs, how to include that into your purchase offer in a way that the seller will hopefully still accept your offer. We do it all the time, but you definitely have to know what you're doing.
We were going back over the steps.
Yes, and so the seller can accept, reject, or counter. If the seller accepts your offer, it's ratified, a legally binding agreement. Then you're moving on to the home inspection. If the seller rejects your offer, it's off the table. Both parties can go their separate ways. But most of the time, the majority of the time, the seller may counter because you may have asked for closing costs and the seller don't want to pay the entire amount. He may agree to some. He may agree to all of the closing costs. It just depends. You may offer him less than the offer price, and he doesn't feel comfortable with that, and he may counter. But he still likes your offer. You have your pre-approval letter. Your pre-approval looks good. So you go back and forth until you can come to a mutual agreement for a ratified contract. Next step, then, the home inspection. If the home inspection, once that's agreed to and it's ratified, then you may want to do a re-inspect, which is a week before closing.
It's a good idea to do that, by the way.
To make sure that those items that the sellers agreed to have been done. I'm not going on the roof. I'm not going in the crawl space. So you may want your home inspector to come back to go into the roof or the crawl space or check the HVAC or the plumbing or things like that that your agent cannot and is not licensed to verify. And it's usually that cost is usually it just depends. It's not the cost of an actual full home inspection. Just the person is just coming back to check the items that the seller agreed to, and that something weak that buyer agent cannot visibly tell if the issue has been corrected.
It seems like that would be worth whatever minimal price that may be, just for the peace of mind.
Oh, absolutely.
Of knowing that it's been done properly.
Right, because again, on an average, $350 to $500, depending on where you are and that home inspector's charge. I think most companies charge a little bit more than independent, self-employed home inspectors, and they probably can't negotiate what that fee is.
Now, what about the appraisal?
And yes, and then after the home inspection is ratified, then I normally check with the lender to let the lender know that everything has been ratified, so the lender can send out the appraisal. That might be $550, $600. And that's something that the lender sends out. Again, the property has to appraise. If the property doesn't appraise, then the buyer's agent has to go back to the seller and ask the seller to reduce the price.
That's important to know because you have some people that might be afraid that they're paying too much for a house. They might feel like the seller's trying to get over or something because they might feel like the house isn't worth whatever the seller is asking for. But the appraiser is a professional. This is what he does, or this is what she does. So, technically, a person can't really pay more for a house than the house is actually worth, correct?
Absolutely. They will not get a loan for that. So that appraiser is also someone the lender doesn't know who the appraiser is. The appraiser actually has to contact the seller to gain access to the property, so the buyer agent doesn't have anything to do with the appraiser. And then once the house has been appraised, that report goes to the loan officer, then who will get in contact with the buyer. The buyer is paying for that appraisal, so the buyer will know and actually get a copy of that report to see how much the property appraised for. Of course, you want equity in the property.
What is equity?
And so equity is the difference between what that loan amount is and what the actual market value is of that property. Say, for instance, the appraiser says the house is worth $250,000 and you made an offer for, or your offer was accepted at $250,000. Mm-hmm. So the your offer was for $245,000. So you have $5,000 of equity in the property. So that means that if you turned around and you sold the house, I guess the next month you possibly could get $250,000, or you could list that house for $250,000. Mm-hmm. And that's really how you create wealth. You create wealth over time by paying down the mortgage and property values rising. So that's why when you're working with your real estate agent, your agent should also want to help you to find not only the down payment and grants that's available to assist you, but also to negotiate and see if you can get closing costs from the listing agent and for that from the seller, and also to see if the seller is willing to pay for a one-year warranty, and to negotiate a great price that hopefully the buyer will have some equity. But again, in this market, you may not have the equity, but you did get the house and it appraised, and then you, over time, you can build that equity.
You know, this information is so powerful. There's so much. I mean, just in this past hour, you've covered so much, Yvette, and I want to thank you so much for the information that you gave. I mean, you spelled it out in plain English, you know, so that a lot of people can really understand what the process is and how the process works. And we want to encourage people to go back and listen to this show over and over again and share it with people that you know. And for those who might be listening online, still got time. If you have a question, just call us at 516-387-1425. Again, that's 516-387-1425. And so after that event, it looks like you're getting ready to go to the closing table.
Absolutely. So that next step, now the home inspection has been ratified. You went back a week before closing to do the re-inspect, and then the day before closing, you want to go back again to the property to do the final walkthrough. At that final walkthrough, you're basically going through the property just to make sure everything is
still there
and in the condition that it was in, or even better since the repairs, since that has been ratified, if any repairs had to be done. And then after that, you just prepare to go to closing, which, again, I like to do the final walkthrough the day before closing. And that's the final step. And then once you get to closing, I have the pleasure to be able to pass that person or give the person the keys. Normally I take the keys at the final walkthrough along with me, and normally the real estate agent attends. The real estate agent attends normally the home inspection and the closing. Since the coronavirus, some offices are not allowing real estate agents to attend the closings. But again, normal and under normal situations, the real estate agent attends the closing as well as the home inspection. And the buyer should be at the home inspection.
Oh, absolutely. For the biggest purchase that you'll probably ever make in your life.
Absolutely.
And by the way, just for the record, and you'll find this out next week when you tune in on next Monday, the home inspection, by the way, is good for one day. Okay? It's
absolutely
good for the day of the home inspection. Okay?
Right.
So,
and that's why we as agents like to ask the seller to pay for a one-year home warranty, even if it's new. And there are certain things, certain appliances and different things that's under warranty. If something should break down the day after closing, you can call the warranty company and you may only have to pay $100,
trip fee or something,
$200. That's a, I can't think of the name right now, but that's just the fee to, that it costs to have a person comes out and fixes it.
You know, if we could talk for a moment just about the feeling at the closing table, because by the time you get to the closing table, you may have been working with this person for months, easily, you know, sometimes 6 months, sometimes a year, depending. Can you talk about that feeling? Because, again, by that time, you've gotten to know the person. You've been in contact with this person oftentimes daily, you've had to sometimes pick this person's spirit up?
Absolutely.
Can you talk about the feeling when you get to closing?
Yeah, during a normal closing process, it might take 30 to 60 days after you have submitted an offer, and that's something that's determined even at the time of writing the offer when you want to close. But you're absolutely right, because it's a process, and especially if a buyer's agent starts working with a person maybe 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned, 6 months, a year. In one particular situation, it was 2 years before
mm-hmm.
a person that I was working with was able to actually purchase, but she did it. And again, I encourage people to stay encouraged, because no matter what your situation is, that's why we talked about bankruptcy, you know, during the years, 2008,
mm-hmm.
years ago, when we had that financial market crisis. You know, people may have felt they lost their job, they had to file bankruptcy. Even now during this season, some people may be laid off
mm-hmm.
for a season. But the market will rebound. Things always rebound.
Always.
And it may just take a little time. But again, as we talked about the P's,
right.
preparation and planning and patience and maintaining peace. during this process, home ownership is definitely something that's a possibility if you feel that that's something that you want, and you have stable employment
mm-hmm.
and you have, you know, the credit and the discipline. And I always tell people, too, it's not just about being financially ready. You want to be mentally ready and prepared for
mm-hmm.
this process as well, because even just this process, there's some ups and downs, and sometimes it can get a little frustrating, and sometimes people actually feel like they can't take it and they want to walk away. But, you know, through encouragement, through support from family, friends, and your realtor, we can help you, guide you through the process. Just the important thing I want to definitely mention before we close the show today is definitely, again, listen to the professionals. They want to help you get there. The lender wants to help you to get there. Your real estate agent wants to help you to get there. So if you follow the instructions, they will tell you, they know how to get you there. We do this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if your lender tells you to do this, dot this I, cross this T, you're getting a grant or a down payment assistance, and now that you have someone else, another third party that's saying you got to do this, you have to do that. But ultimately, if you do what, you know, you're instructed to do, one day you'll be in that home and you'll thank them.
And whatever you
hopefully.
Do, whatever you do, tell your lender everything.
Absolutely.
Tell your lender everything. Everything. Yeah, that too. Everything. You got to tell them everything, because they're there to help you. And sometimes people think that, okay, well, for example, this debt didn't show up on my credit report, so I'm going to just keep it to myself. You know, hey, I'm not going to tell them if they don't know. They're going to find out on their own. Well, they're going to find out. And
they
you don't want
them.
To be so disappointed that when it comes time, you're scheduled to close in a week or scheduled to close in 2 days, and all of a sudden
something pops up.
Mm-hmm.
Something pops up, and now the lender is scrambling, trying to maybe put you in another loan product because they were dependent on one loan because it was the down payment assistance provided through that program that you qualified for. But now
you praying
because something popped up. It may not was on your credit report.
Mm-hmm.
But you knew
mm-hmm.
it was a collection, or you knew you had another car payment, but they just wasn't reporting it to the credit report. But those underwriters, once it gets to the underwriter, they have no loyalty to anyone except for that company, because they
mm-hmm.
get paid
mm-hmm.
to do their job. So that person, the lender, can also help to prepare.
That's right.
Prepare, or even you may have to write an explanation concerning why did this happen.
And it's better to get it out of the way, let them tell you up front in the beginning of the process what you need to do to correct it, because one of the worst feelings in the world is to get to the end
yeah.
and not get approved and find out that you could have gotten approved had you just shared that information up front.
Or basically your loan fell through. And that is the most disappointing feeling about the home buying process. I love it when we can get to the end and celebrate, and everybody has picture taking time, smiles on everyone's face, and I have the keys dangling to get hand over to that person. That's the most beautiful and most wonderful feeling for all of the hard work and the time and the patience and the preparation.
Yep.
But it's very disappointing for everyone that's worked so hard that if something happens at the last minute. Now, of course, unfortunately, someone loses that job.
True.
But it doesn't mean that later on you can't start the process over again, but things happen. But not because of things that you should have known or you should have shared or between your agent and your lender, because both your agent and your lender is definitely working to try to help you to remember, once you're under contract, don't go out and accumulate any more debt.
Mm-hmm.
You have a debt-to-income ratio. Mm-hmm. If you all exceed that, that could disqualify you for your loan. Don't go out and
change jobs in the middle of
the
deal.
Change jobs in the middle of the deal. Or if you are getting a promotion or something like that, just
run it past the lender.
Run it past the lender.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, as Juwanza mentioned, if the lender knows this, these things up front, then they can structure the loan and tell you what to do in order to avoid any delays.
You know, this is a show, again, that people need to have these type of conversations with young people around the dinner table. Unfortunately, for some communities, this type of information isn't shared. And as a result of it not being shared, then you have people that they just grow up just not knowing what the process is. But if you don't know, it doesn't mean that you can't learn. So if you're listening to this show and you know other people, whether it's family members, you might have young adults in your family that, you know, just need this information, or somebody that you know is considering buying a home, share this series with them. Again, we started off with the role of the, was it credit
personal finance.
And we went from personal finance to the role of the,
credit reporting.
And then we went to the role of the lender. And now we're speaking with Yvette on the role of the realtor. And next week, we're going to be talking about the role of the home inspector. But this show right here today was so powerful with all of this information. Yvette, you did an awesome job explaining this information. Thank you so much. Just all of your wealth of knowledge, your passion, and all of it just came through. And I encourage everybody, if you have any questions concerning the role of the lender, Yvette, can you give your contact information for people so they can reach you?
You mean the role of the real estate agent?
What did I say?
The role of the lender. The role of the lender also. Yes, of course. But, yes, I can be reached at my telephone number is, you can reach me directly at 804-901-2067. That's 804-901-2067. And you can also email me at Yvette, Y-V-E-T-T-E, dot Preston, P-R-E-S-T-O-N, at longandfoster.com. That's spelling out A-N-D, longandfoster.com. My contact information is also in the description. But definitely, if you have any questions concerning the home buying process, we're also planning to put together a show specifically talking about all these different types of programs. I know you've heard us talking about down payment assistance program, grants, and other organizations that have specific programs to help especially first-time home buyers with that down payment assistance that you need, because, again, the agent cannot negotiate or ask the seller to pay your closing costs, but so you will have to come up with that down payment, and there's various ways that you can get that down payment, and there's down payment assistance and grants programs that's available.
Also, lastly, the some expenses are out of pocket, again, like the home inspector and the appraisal. Okay, so you're gonna that's cash. You're not gonna be paying that with a credit card, because
correct,
that could affect your debt to income ratio.
Unless the lender says it, but most of the time, just you need to have money saved, because even more than $2,000.
Oh.
I mean, things happen. I always, when I talk to my clients and when we go out looking for properties, I always make sure I look at the big items like the roof HVAC? Are they new? Have they been renovated? Have they been updated? Because you don't want to purchase a house that now after you close and a year from now you have to come up with $10,000 for a new roof or replace the HVAC. So those are some of the major things that we also talk about. But as you can see, I can go on and on. It's just so much to share. I do encourage people to also look, go on the internet. You can also go over to Virginia Housing and Development Authority, VHDA.com, and take the First Time Home Buyer Education series. That's actually going through the entire series on the home buying process. It's a 6 hours class. But you'll get a two-year certificate that will meet the educational requirements for a VHDA loan, which is most of the loan products that a lender will share with you if you're thinking about purchasing a home in Virginia. And then also, you can also actually learn about other programs that's available for Maryland and D.C. like that also. We also want to talk about next Monday.
Next Monday?
Yes, Miller Van Fossen with Cornerstone Inspection is going to be our special guest, and he's going to share on the home inspection. Don't miss that show. That's a great show, and it's the ins and outs and things you want to know about the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the appraiser is looking for value, but the home inspector is looking for problems. You know, you want to find out what problems there may be so that you can get those fixed before you close.
Even if the house is being sold as is, you still want, just for informational purposes, you want to know what you're going to need to fix. If the seller's not going to fix it, somebody's got to fix it. So you definitely need to know what those issues are. Yvette, great show.
Thank you for the opportunity. I love working with, I love the whole process of real estate and working with, especially working with first-time home buyers. So, again, if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me. And we look forward to go back and listen to the other shows, and we look forward to you tuning in for the next broadcast. We got two more to go in this series.
And you are going to be well educated. Again, the name of the show is called Health, Wealth, and Real Estate. My name is Juwanza.
And I'm Yvette.
Who am I? I'm the one who in giving receives more. Who are you? Peace.